instrument of God and how he uses you to reach out into the world. But before you do any reaching, maybe we should do some stretching so you don't pull a hamstring or something. That would be very bad, right? Ben Kibler, he knows these things. He's a surgeon. All right, so we are going to do this together as a church. And so we are going to do three exercises today. First, we are going to do some sit-ups. So everybody, take your back and press it firmly against the back of your chair. Good job sitting up. Posture is very important. All right, second exercise. Take your hand and place it towards the ceiling like this. Now take your other hand, place it also towards the ceiling like this, and push up. Raise the roof. That's right, we don't need no water tonight. Excellent. All right, and the third exercise, possibly the most important, and only spiritual men of God are able to get the congregations to do this. I'm going to need everybody to stand up. Please stand up with me. Excellent. Good job. Now you may sit back down. Excellent. Excellent. All right. Now, please put your hands together athletically for Pastor David Kibler.
Never quite know what to expect when John says, "Hey, Paul's going right before you." You know, I never really know what to expect. You guys, Paul is in need of some medicine. So if anybody has some antipsychotic, I really appreciate that for next service. You guys, we're in a series called Build the Body, Change the World. For those of you guys who don't know me, my name's Dave. I'm one of the pastors here. And we are, the motto around here is build the body, change the world. And unfortunately, Barry has it wrong. We're not building the body. We're building the body of Christ. That's what the Bible says. The purpose of the church is to build up the body. But we're going to talk about the church. And there are a lot of people talk about the church. A lot of people say we don't need the church. I can be part of the family of God without being part of the church. I can be a believer. I can believe in God. I can do all these things without being part of the church. Well, that's because they don't understand what being a part of the church really is. There's a lot of criticism going on about the church. You know, well, there's a bunch of hypocrites there. Well, of course they're a bunch of hypocrites. That's why we welcome you. Come on in. That everyone's a hypocrite. I'm a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. There's no one who consistently lives out everything they believe at all times. And so everyone's a hypocrite. Exactly. Come on in. There's always room for one more. Okay? But one of the things that when I look back in my life as a teenager, I never planned on being part of the church. When I looked at the vision of my life, being part of the church never was part of the equation. I never really saw the need for it. My relationship with the church was more what I would call church dating. I would say I dated the church. And I came up with the kind of a profile of a church dater. This is what I looked like in my teenage years and early college years. This is what I looked like. The profile of a church dater is this: very me-centered. Okay, I looked at the church and I said, well, is this music for me? Is the messages for me? What do they have for me to get and apply to my daily life? It was very me-centered, okay? Like a lot of people that date, they look at a relationship. What can I get out of this relationship? Okay, the second thing is that I was independent. Okay, I went to church on a Sunday morning because I knew that that's what Christians did and that's what you're supposed to do. But I was very, very, very quick to keep everyone at an arm's length, kind of like a person who's dating a girl but doesn't really want to get too committed to this person because there might be someone else better out there. So you don't want to really commit too much. You know, a church dater probably comes on Sunday morning, but when it comes to jumping into small groups or really getting to know people in the church, that's not for me. I'm a church dater. And the third one is that church daters are very often very critical of the church because they have a very consumer mentality. You know, what is the best thing I can get for the price of my Sunday morning? What's the best thing I can get? I knew people that would go to listen to the music at one church and would leave and go listen to the sermon at another so that they could get it. And they were very critical of their churches and very critical of the pastors and of the people and everything like that. Guys, if that is you, there's hope for you because that's who I was. I was a church dater. And I didn't understand being part of the church. And what I figured out, guys, was that I was missing out on one of the greatest joys possible that God has set up in this earth is to be being part of the church. And I'm going to try to explain why this is such a great thing. to you guys. I'm going to try to explain why over the next little bit. The first thing about the church, you guys, the Bible says it's the body of Christ. Isn't that a great line? The body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says that everyone is you are the body of Christ. So that every person, a hand, a foot, the head, that you know, all different parts make up one body. So guys, if you were to cut off my hand, and that's really ugly to think about, if you were to cut off my hand, it would look like a hand, but it wouldn't have any life. Wouldn't have any life. It would not be able to do anything apart from the body. Same thing with my foot. You've cut off my foot. It would look like a foot, but it would cease having any life whatsoever. And the same thing, when people tell me, I can be a Christian without being part of the church. I can be a Christian without being part of the body. I say, you know what? I'll give you 1 year, 2 years max. And your life will look no different from any other unbeliever out there. You'll be falling to the same temptations. You'll be loving the exact same way. Your values and your goals and your priorities will be the exact same of any unbeliever. You will not be thriving in your walk with Christ. And I'm batting 1,000 with that prediction. Guys, in the 2nd century, a teacher named Erasmus tells a story of Jesus ascending into heaven, and all the angels gathered around, and he was telling them about what he'd done on earth, how he had lived, how he'd loved, how he'd taught, and it was really cool telling the whole story of the crucifixion, the resurrection, and everything. And the angels said, "Well, you know, Master, what do you do now?" And Jesus said, "Well, I did something really amazing. I took my followers, and I made them into a thing called the church. And I have given them the task and the chore and the burden and the joy of spreading my gospel all over the earth and transforming this earth into the kind of earth I want it to be." And the angels scratched their head and said, well, Master, it's a big task. What if this little ragtag group of people doesn't do that? What if they fail? What is the plan B? What's the backup plan? And Jesus says, "I have no backup plan. This is my plan. I started the church and I have blessed the church, and it is my instrument to use for my glory." So when you're part of a church, you're part of the body of Christ. I don't think many of us realize that. But the second thing I love about the church is that the church is excellent at winning people to Christ. Do you know that? The church is excellent at winning people to Christ. There's a man named Barnabas in the New Testament, the book of Acts. And this is what the scriptures has to say about him. Acts 11:24. "He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And because of him, a great number of people were brought to the Lord." What an epitaph on a tombstone. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And because of him, a great number of people were brought to the Lord. And I know what you're thinking out there. I know what you're thinking right now. That could never be put on my tombstone. That may describe him, but that would never be put on my tombstone. Don't be so hard on yourselves. I want to take a survey. This is my favorite survey, and the reason I've done this with this church before, so I know what the answers are, and that's a good thing. But I want to ask you a question. How many of you that are Christians here today, and I know that there are people that aren't Christian, I'm really glad you're here. I'm glad you're here to hear this message. But those of you that are Christians here today, I want you to raise your hand if you came to Christ, if you're a Christian, because you were flipping through channels in the TV, and you came across a TV evangelist, or a gospel film, or Passion of the Christ, or something like that, and the gospel message hit you, and you became a Christian after watching a TV preacher or something like that. Raise your hand, please. I'm not surprised. How many of you guys that are Christians were flipping through radio stations, and you came upon K-Love, or Air One, or WJMM, or something like that, and you heard Christian music, or the gospel, or by a preacher, or something like that, and you became a Christian because of Christian radio? Please raise your hands. I'm not surprised. Now let me ask you this question. How many of you that are Christians here today are Christians because somebody in the church loved you, took an interest in you, showed you the gospel, introduced you to Jesus, and you became part of the body of Christ because someone in the church shared Jesus with you? Please raise your hands. the church is excellent at winning people to Christ. See, the world is not being won to Christ by media conglomerates and the things that we spend millions and billions of dollars on. The church is, the world is being won to Christ one, by faithful Christians, faithful church members being faithful to spread the gospel message of Jesus. So don't be so hard on yourselves. That could be said about you, that you were a good man, a good woman, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And because of you, a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Looks like lots of you have already brought people to the Lord. You say, well, does that really work? Does that really work? Well, guys, I'm, as you guys know, I'm a minister, and I get together once a month with other ministers in the area, and we pray for our churches. We pray for you guys. I don't know if you knew that or not, but we pray for you all. We pray for the people in our churches. We pray for people that are outside our churches that need Jesus. We pray for a fresh infusion of the Holy Spirit into our churches. We do that. We meet at a restaurant called Country Cooking by George, and we go there every single time. We were getting done with our prayer time, and I just felt the Holy Spirit saying, you need to leave a big tip for the waitress. And I'm glad my wife isn't here because it wasn't in the budget, okay? But I did, okay? And so a friend of mine named Miles, and the waitress took our stuff away, and a friend of mine named Miles went to get his like 15th plate or whatever. And we're ministers after all. And he came back with the waitress, and the waitress said, you all are consistently the nicest people that we serve here. And I would just like for you to pray for me. That's what she said. And Miles put his hand on her shoulder and began to pray for her. And I began to feel the Holy Spirit leading me to pray for Miles as he was praying for her. And I prayed, Lord, please give him the right words to say. Please give him the right words to say. I don't know what's going on with this waitress, but please give him the right words to say. And all of a sudden, Miles blurted out, and Lord, heal her from her cancer. Okay, now, you know what you're supposed to do during prayers. You're supposed to keep your head bowed and your eyes closed, right? That's what you're supposed to do. Well, I looked up quick, and every other minister was looking up like, what in the world just happened? And the waitress she jerked like she'd been shot when he said this. All of a sudden, tears just started pouring down her cheeks. And when Miles got done praying, she stuck her finger in his face and said, how did you know? And he said, how did I know what? And she said, I have cancer from here to here. I don't have health insurance, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And Tommy Simpson from Tate's Creek Christian Church stepped forward. And for the next 10 minutes, he shared the gospel with her, walked her through the gospel story. And all of us ministers got to see this woman kneel down in a restaurant full of people and receive Christ. And you say, well, you guys are ministers. Of course you're supposed to do that. We didn't do a thing we learned in seminary. That's not what seminary teaches you to do. All the stuff we did, we learned from Jesus. And that's available to everyone. The church is excellent at winning people to Christ. Excellent. I love the church. And that's why I love being a part of the church. So my question is, do you share your faith? Do you witness for Jesus? Because that's part of being the church. The church is also excellent at loving people. Not only is the church excellent at reaching people for Christ, the church is excellent at loving people. Mark 12, 28 and 29 says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I know of no other place made up of people of lovers like the church of Jesus Christ. You say, wait a second. I know some of the worst people, one of the most nasty people I know in the church. I've met the most worst people I know in the church. I have too. I've met some of the worst people I've ever met in the church. But I would only be telling half the story if I didn't say that the very best people I know are I have known through the church. I am consistently amazed at how loving, accepting, kind church people are. I'm amazed. When my wife and I in 2004 went through the worst thing in our life, we lost a child, 10 days old. We watched him die. During that time, In 2004, I was in youth ministry, and there were eight guys at the church that didn't like what I was doing. They didn't like the youth ministry. They didn't like the way it was. And it wouldn't have really mattered, but these eight guys were elders. And in church, because they were godly people, the way church people, they don't ever fire someone. They just try to make you miserable so you'll leave. Okay, I guess that's the godly way of doing things. So they basically were set out to do that. And my life was basically kind of a living hell that year. It really was. And I got very sour and very bitter towards the church because my wife and I were going through this horrible episode with our family, and all I was getting was garbage from the elders. And when at Jacob's funeral, we walked into the church, and over 800 people from the church showed up, and they weren't there to see or to hear a sermon, and they weren't there to sing worship songs, and they were not there to make a show. They were there to love on us. 800 people showed up, and they put their arms around us, and they wept with us, and they mourned with us the loss of our son. And they loved on us. When we laughed, they laughed. When we cried, they cried. When we were silent, they were silent. And all of a sudden, it just hit me. There are eight guys that are giving me garbage and 800 that love. And that's to the credit of the church. I know of no other place that can take broken, hurting people and love them. And love them back to wholeness. Put it down all you want. Find a nasty person here and a judgmental person over here and say, well, that's the way the church is. Well, you know, whenever I meet someone with problems, that is mean to others, I know they've got problems, don't you? Most nasty, judgmental people are themselves hurting inside. And the Bible says that we are to love others as we love ourselves. And if you don't love yourself, you can't love others. And people that are lashing out at people are really hurt and messed up in here, and they need love even more. The church is the only place that accepts people in the world that always accepts people with qualifications. And the church is the only place that I know that accepts people not because of who they are, but most often in spite of who they are. I love the church. And there are very few people that are part of this church because of good preaching. And there are very few people that are part of this church because of good theology. Most people are part of this church because they feel accepted and they feel loved. Christianity is more often caught than it is taught. And I would imagine most of you guys are Christians today because somebody loved you, not because someone showed you A, B, C, and D of the gospel. Because the church is so excellent at loving people, it moves on to its greatest impact on the world. There's a well-known female author. She wrote many, many books, sold millions of books, and she was one of the most creative, productive writers ever. And an interviewer asked her, where do you get your inspiration? Where in the world do you come up with these ideas? Why did you get to be such a prolific, purposeful writer? And the woman looked at the interviewer and said, oh, it's very, very, very simple. When I was a little girl, when I would walk into the room, my daddy's eyes would light up. And that wasn't what the interviewer was looking for. The interviewer was, that's it? I mean, where do you get your ideas? How do you come up with this stuff? You know, what's your technique? Where did you go to school? What education did you have? And the writer again said, no, you don't get it. The reason I am such a good writer is because when I would walk into the room as a little girl, my dad's eyes would light up. My dad loved me, she said. And because my dad loved me, I was able to go out and do what I was supposed to do. And because God has put together such an amazing body of believers that loves each other. And God has loved us. We are set free to accomplish our purpose in this world. Guys, I'm concerned with this world. I always have been. Even as a teenager, I remember when I became kind of world aware. It happened to me in high school. And in 1990, Persian Gulf happened. You know, when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait. And we sent our military over there. And I said, that's it. Our military will go over there and will set things right. And I'm not down in the military. I love the military. But no problems were solved. And then a few years later, in 1992, is my first election I could vote in. And I'm not going to tell you who I voted for. Those of you guys that were alive know who I voted for. No, just hold on, just a second. Don't worry about me, I got $3 billion. Mr. Ross Perot. And I thought, you know, if we just elect the right president, if we just elect the right man for the office, then he will lead this country and do all kinds of great things. And you saw how that worked out. So I looked for a military solution. I looked for a political solution. And guys, what I found out was this. In the big grand scheme of things, when all is said and done, it's mostly just said. But there was one thing, one movement, one institution that was getting it done around the world, that was affecting real change and was making a real impact on the world, and it was the church. It wasn't politicians, it wasn't military, it wasn't anything like that. It was the church. And guys, I want to show you guys some stories. There are millions and millions of stories of normal church people, non-ministers, that are getting it done in this world because they've taken the love of Jesus and put feet on it. I just have three stories. First story is a man who rescues soap from hotels. He bakes it down and makes new soap, sends it to third world countries, reducing communicable disease by encouraging hand washing, some places by 90%. Second one is Katie Davis, one of my heroes in Uganda. The third one is a compassion-sponsored guy. I want you to check out their stories. It said, when all is said and done, it's mostly just said, but there is one organization, one group of people in the world that gets it done, and it's the church. I love the church. I love this church. Guys, when I ask you to join the church, when you say you're part of a church, I don't invite you to sit in a chair on Sunday morning. I don't invite you to believe a set of propositions. I don't invite you to those things. I invite you to a relationship with Jesus Christ, to be part of his church, to take the love that the Father has for you and put feet on it. That's what you are. I ask you to join the church. I ask you to join a worldwide movement that has been set up by God that's bigger than anything that you and I could ever imagine. In every continent, in every country, in every city, every nation, the word of God is being preached, not by people with strained seminary degrees, but by people who have been radically altered by the love of God and are taking that love into the world. That's what God has called us to do. I love the church. I love the church because it's God's instrument for changing this world and the kind of world that he wants. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for the church. And Lord, right now, I need to repent.